Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica and Bob Ryan.
I'm Mike Lupica, MLB.com and the New York Daily News.
And I am Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN, and we welcome you to the Thursday edition of the Sports Reporters Podcast. Our great friend and colleague, Mitch Albom, is off embarrassing us once again. He's at his orphanage in Haiti. Mitch is a story unto himself, but he is in Haiti, and he will be back next week. The story is obvious, the lead story for us, the lead story in sports. The shocking developments of early morning 2 days ago when we discovered that Tiger Woods had been in a very serious automobile accident. And thank God he survived and will survive, but he's got a long road back. And Mike, what was your first thought?
Well, my first thought was we're getting another news bulletin out of Southern California, like that could be very bad the way we did with Kobe Bryant. I can remember that Sunday afternoon, Bob, and Zach Lupica lives in Southern California. He called me and he said, Dad, there's a really bad story out here about Kobe. And then, of course, it turned out to be true. And then we saw the pictures of the car when we knew that he was on his way to the hospital and hadn't been killed in the crash. Yeah. And the car looked like a NASCAR car. It looked like exactly like a NASCAR car after some sort of wreck at Daytona. And so then you start to think, okay, what the heck happened? And now, you know, Bobby, you can create a narrative now where you understand how this happened. And only he knows how it happened, okay? Now, there were no skid marks. So he's going, he's at a place on the road where you go downhill and you pick up speed without even noticing that you're picking up speed. I saw our buddy Gene Wojciechowski, used to be on the Sports Reporters. He drove that road yesterday. And he said, all of a sudden, you're just going faster than you want to. Okay. Could it come out later that he was on his phone? Of course it could. Did something distract him? Anyway, once he hit that median rail, Bob, he was screwed. Okay, and he, by the grace of God, there wasn't a car coming in the other direction. If there's a car coming in the direction, this is a completely different story. That day, yesterday, today, okay? And then, you know, then he hits the curb, and then the car's rolling down the hill, and, you know, first you heard Jaws of Life, then it wasn't Jaws of Life.
Yes.
Now we see and hear, as we read the doctor's reports, they are not as catastrophic. They're all leg injuries, okay, and they're terrible. And Bob, as soon as I started writing, I wrote about Hogan because in February of 1949 that he and Valerie were in the car that got hit by the Greyhound bus. And if you go back and look at his litany of injuries, it's even more frightening than Tigers are.
Well, Michael, I have done exactly that. And I was
okay, because you've seen the pictures of Hogan's car.
It's on February 2nd, 1949, hit by a Greyhound bus. Flung himself across his wife to save her, and in so doing, it turns out, saved his own life. Here's a list of the injuries. Double fracture of the pelvis, fractured collarbone, left ankle fracture, chipped ribs, and near-fatal blood clots. He spent 59 days in the hospital.
And was given the last rites of the Catholic Church.
And this is, you know, 59 days. And of course, you know the end of the story, which is that 15 months later, he resumes his place on the tour. And at age, he was 38 years old when this happened, by the way. And of course, went on to win 7 majors in the next 3 years and one of the most amazing runs in the history of golf. And after a point when people worried whether he'd be able to walk. That parallel, Michael, was the second thing that came to my mind. The first thing that came to my mind when I heard was, oh, please, God, let there not be any alcohol or drugs involved in this.
Yeah, you always have that theory.
Yeah, because of his history, you know. And I know it was 7:12 in the morning, but, you know, God. You know, it's good to hear that it may not be, as you said, as catastrophic as we first heard.
Yeah, 16 months after that accident, Ben Hogan wins a U.S. Open at Marion, okay? And I think one of his first wins back might have been in Los Angeles, ironically enough. But here's the thing. You're right, Bob. I don't know if he's 37 or 38, but
he was 38.
He's a fair amount younger than Tiger is. Tiger's 45 years old. So, you know, youth doesn't help you coming back from injuries like that. But Hogan did come back and have his greatest success as a professional golfer. Now, what people don't know about Hogan, and why is this relevant? Because he was the greatest player of his time, and Tiger was the greatest player of his time, and now there have been a car accident for both of them, okay? Yeah. Hogan would only play 6 or 7 tournaments a year, not by choice, Bob, but because his body couldn't withstand walking 72 holes. He had to wrap his legs before every single round. There was something I did not know about that accident. His vision in his left eye was never quite the same ever again. So can you come back from an injury? Yes, but would Hogan have come back at the age of 45? Probably not. Okay. And again, these are not the concerns right now. The concerns are that this man can lead a normal life again, that he can walk normally again, that he can enjoy his children, and that he can enjoy, you know, all of his time on this planet. But as a sports fan, Bobby, your first instinct is, God, could he ever come back from that? Well, Hogan did.
I'll be honest. I immediately dismissed that one as unrealistic, given the age factor and everything. But except, you know, you hold a sliver out. He's not like everybody else. He's in a very rarefied category of elite athletes, and we know his. And
Bobby,
we
was
know
36, by the way. He was 36 going on 37. I just read back on
okay,
his
okay.
bio.
If there's one thing that we know, and we have you, me, and anybody else who covers sports and has been privileged to make a living by being around those people, is those people are different than us.
Sure.
There's them with a T and there's us with a U, and there's a difference between them and us. So, you know, he's already defied. I mean, I know I categorically declared him winning another major? What? Give me a break. Stop it, nonsense. And of course, he wins the Masters last year. So, you know, and of course, then we could get the number 12 in Tampa and talk about that. Who, by the way, they're talking about a contract extension. Mike.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, so they're different, and certainly we have to allow at least a remote possibility that he'll get back and play this game at some competitive level again. There is a thing called the senior, well, I don't know what they're calling it, champions. They keep changing it.
Yeah.
But there is a thing for the older fellows over 50 down the road if he would, you know, and you know,
that's
it's not undignified.
Yeah, it's 5 years
it's
from
not
now.
Yeah, it's not undignified to do that. Anyway.
But when you look at this man, okay, and again, it's always hard, not hard, it's part of our gig, to try to put some context and perspective when something like this happens. And, you know, the lead of my column was about all of his problems started with another SUV ride, much shorter, much less dangerous, down his driveway on Thanksgiving night in 2009. Now, and he had a fight with his wife. He had Ambien in his system. He got into his car and she chased him and blah 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 blah. He ends up sleeping in the seat and there's a hole because of a 5-iron in the car. So it was and I remember saying to my sons that night, Thanksgiving night, I said, "There's going to be a lot more we're going to find out about this. This is not normal." Okay, but here's the context. The year before, playing with a broken bone in his leg and a ruined knee, he wins his 14th major championship at Torrey Pines in a playoff with Rocco Media. Okay, yeah. Bob, if somebody had told you that day that he would not win his 15th major for 11 years, you would have had that person drug tested. Okay, he wasn't just going to pass Jack Nicklaus.
No.
He was going to go blowing by Jack Nicklaus, okay? And then this happens, and then the scandal happens. And, you know, it's funny. I was talking to my oldest son, you know him, Christopher, yesterday. He said, "Dad, the punishment for those infidelities never fit the crime." And he's 1,000% right. He was on the back page of the New York Post. I've forgotten this. Christopher remembered. For 11 straight days. Bob, Let me repeat that. He was but then, so now his personal life, then, you know, now everything happens. And then after he's started to come back, even after he started to win golf tournaments, then in 2017 in Jupiter, he's in the car and he's got this toxic mix of drugs in his system and he's incoherent when the cops get him out. He comes back from that. Then he provides one of the greatest moments in the history of American sports at the 2019 Masters. Not just golf, any sport, okay? And then there are the images of him hugging his son the way Earl, who's no day at the beach, had hugged him after his first Masters win. And Bob, I said this yesterday. I did a bunch of TV shows. And it sounds like a cliche, but Tiger Woods seemed happy at last actually being Tiger Woods. Because he never seemed to be having fun when he was winning those 14 matches.
Before we continue, we'd like to remind you that we are brought to you by the good people at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Oh, Mike, you're so right. And that's the, and I'm not going to use that N-word narrative. I'm not going to use it. But that's the storyline that has been that captured the imagination and the hearts of a lot of people is the torch passing of it. Well, Tiger in the beginning of his reign, King Tiger would be celebrating afterward with Earl, his father, who had nurtured this incredible talent, and now it's he gets to share it with his son. And we know how much did people love that father son golf tournament last year. So yeah, it's good. And you want
even
you know
Bob, even watching him walk around, and as much fun as he was clearly having with his son Charlie, I thought he looked like he was walking. I thought he was in pain. I think he's in chronic pain because of his back. And people who have back issues, they know, okay? Having a bad back, as a friend of mine once said, is like having a second job, okay? You organize your life and your day. So even with Nancy the other day, he didn't look like himself on television. Zach called me. He said, Dad, did you watch that interview with Nance? He said he doesn't even sound like himself. So I think he's in pain. He was looking at another MRI. He was looking at another comeback. And then, Bob, again, what we know of his morning, you can figure this out. He was late for a shoot, okay? He was leaving where he was. He was going back to Riviera, ironically enough, where he had just given out the trophy to Max Homa on Sunday afternoon. And he's going to shoot this series he's doing where he gives lessons to high-profile athletes, to Drew Brees, okay? And everybody says where he was leaving from, it was at least an hour and he was late. So he probably was driving fast, okay? Mm-hmm. And who knows, Bob? Again, I'm not trying to speculate or blame him. No, he was the victim of a terrible car crash. He may have been talking to somebody or distracted, or an animal could have run in front. Knows, okay? Yeah. Even though now we're starting to hear he doesn't even remember being in the crash, okay?
Really didn't hear that
one. And so all of a sudden, there's this terrible storm of events, and he ends up in that car, in that ruined car, at the bottom of the hill. And Bob, I'm telling you, karma isn't a real thing, but this guy's had bad karma for a long time. And then he seemed to, Bob, it was like trying to stop the ocean, the bad karma. Then he turned it around.
Yeah.
Then he won. Remember those pictures of the Tour Championship where they let the fans follow him up the 18th fairway? It's one of the most emotional and dramatic pictures. You know, it's like we used to see it at the British Open where they let the fans chase the eventual winner down the 18th fairway. And it was beautiful. Taylor, my wife, and I were out as soon as he won the Tour Championship that day. Okay. We're out walking our dogs. And a guy who's now become a friend of ours, a neighbor who I did not know at the time, he looks out the window and he sees me, and he kind of knew me from the sports reporters. And he comes running out of his house, not because it's me. He needed to talk about this with somebody. He's a really good golfer. And he goes, did you see it? I said, I saw it. He said, wasn't it unbelievable? And that was the attitude of people all over the country. And Bobby, that's before he wins the Masters.
Yeah. It turns out, Mike, with that, according to the authorities, since January of 2020, there have been 13 accidents at that site, and four of them involve serious injury.
Yeah, it's one a month. It averages out to one a month. But, you know, it's funny. It was a straightaway. It wasn't like a dead man's, you know, I mean, there was a curve in the road, but it's not like it was, you know, dead man's curve. And every time I look, I'm looking at these pictures again, Bob. You know, it's what Earnhardt's car looked like on the day he died. The fact that he's still alive, the fact that there was no brain trauma that we know about is remarkable. It was all to his lower legs. And believe me, you don't want to read too deeply on what they had to do to fix his legs.
Also, seatbelt saved life again with people.
Yeah, yeah. And
too many people still don't get it or don't want to acknowledge it in their daily life.
And okay, so to take a step back, okay, I'd like to remind you that we're sponsored today by American Giant.
Hey, friends, more doesn't always mean better. Today, we buy 2.5 times more clothes than we used to. Not only that, we haven't worn over 80% of the clothing in our closet in the last 12 months. We buy more than we need because, well, it's cheap and disposable. But American Giant wants to change that. They make quality clothes here in the USA that are wearable for years, so you get what you want, not a bunch of cheap clothes you don't need and you'll toss out. I've gotten the hoodie and their t-shirts, and I can tell the minute I put it on, okay, this is a keeper. I'm going to be having this for years to come. You can tell the quality of the craftsmanship, the quality. You know when you have a cheap hoodie on or a cheap t-shirt on, you say, I'll probably get two wears out of this and then I'll put it in the dryer and that'll be the end of it. Not so for the clothes from American Giant. And it feels good knowing American Giant's supply chain is 100% in the USA. They support hardworking people and local communities by making products that last. Get 15% off your first order when you use promo code REPORTERS at American-Giant.com. That's 15% off when you use the code REPORTERS at American-Giant.com.
Bob, Nicklaus was never the most important golfer, okay? There have been two important golfers in the history of the sport who just changed the profile of the sport. First was Arnold Palmer. Okay. First, Arnold Palmer came along and all of a sudden people wanted to watch golf on television. The great Frank Cherkinian, the legendary, my friend, the legendary producer, director of CBS, they said, well, explain what you did at that time, because he changed the way golf looked. He said, I put the camera on Arnold and left it there. Okay. That was the secret of his. And then along comes Tiger Woods. It's like Jimmy Connors changed the profile of tennis back in the 1980s, 70s. And Magic and Larry changed the, you know, they weren't the greatest players of all time, but they elevated their sport in a way. So Arnold elevated it, and it went along, and Jack had the greatest career ever. But then along comes this kid. And Bob, if you had designed, if you created a character for a movie about somebody, okay, let's make him mixed race. You know, let's give him this sort of backstory, and then let's have him go down to Augusta and win his first majors by 9,000 strokes, and then do it again at Pebble, and then do it again at St. Andrews. So it's not like he was going to these tomato can courses and running away from the world. St. Andrews, Pebble Beach, Augusta.
I was at the Pebble Beach one, and I was at several of them, but I was at that one. And it's just the idea of, I can remember looking every day, looking up at the board, and it's all black, except for one guy. and he wins by 15 strokes against the greatest golfers in the world at a legendary course. That achievement is just still sticks in my, you know, because I'm sure just like you, had the obvious assumption circa 2008, that you would be there to see him break Jack's record. I assumed I was going to be wherever it was going to be.
It was almost impossible that he could.
I knew. I said, I'll be there. That'd be great.
Let's go back to the first major, okay? And again, we're going to talk a lot about Tiger Woods because in the last 35 years in American sports, there was Michael, there was Tiger, there was LeBron, there was Serena, and there's Tom Brady. I don't think there's anybody else we need to add to that list, do we?
Off the top of my head, no.
Okay.
I wish there was a baseball player, but there isn't.
Okay, so here's here's the best thing, okay? The Masters that he ends up winning, he's 18 under par. Second place is 6 under par. Okay, he wins by 12. He shoots 40 on the front nine on Thursday.
Yep.
He starts that with a 40, okay? From there on, he plays 22 under par. And Tom Kite, who finished second, had a great line that year. He said, "I won the first flight championship." It was just, you know, there's the championship flight and the club championships. Then there's the first flight. He said, "I did really good. I won first flight." And then he was off. And then he was off. And again, from 1997 through June, Father's Day of 2008, he wins 14 major championships. Okay. He has the Tiger Slam, which is as valid to me as any Grand Slam that Bobby Jones won when of them were amateur. Okay, it's not even that he is. Jack had 18. Nobody will ever get to 18 ever again. Never, 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 never. It's not going to be like tennis. There's not going to be a Federer and a Nadal or Djokovic coming along. Okay, Tigers. You see now, Bobby, how hard it is. I talked about this the other day in a party chat. Remember how hard it is to do what he did. To do what he did. I mean, McIlroy, Koepka, Spieth, I think they've won 11 combined. I may be off on my math, but I don't think I am, okay? And he's got 15. One guy's got 15. And then you factor in how many kids he brought to golf, how many fans he brought to golf. All these kids who win tournaments, all they talk about is how, yeah, I grew up wanting to be Tiger Woods. I want to play with Tiger Woods.
What you touched on without saying it, I think, and what fascinates me about the nature of golf, professional golf, is how many great players there are worldwide. How many people that can play this game at an extraordinarily high level, and therefore how hard. One thing that always amuses me, I always bristle about, who's the favorite to win this Masters? Who's the favorite to win this tournament? I mean, it could be one of 500 guys. I mean, you know, like the tournament fields are 100 and whatever. It could be anybody, as a rule, because there's such a thin margin of error on a given day and over the 472 holes. How many people are? And therefore, what I'm getting at, that being the case, and I think there have never been more good golfers at one time in history than there are now, because it's become so internationalized, and like five continents worth of good golfers or great golfers, is that what he was able to do in the midst of this competition. And as you've already many times pointed out, there wasn't a rival. No, there wasn't that Arnold thing going on, but there were all kinds of very capable people, you know. And he towered over the field to the extent that he did for that period of time. You know, everything that was different about him. He never, what the numbers are, and he. Everybody else would routinely or more than, you know, a little bit miss a cut. Remember, Tiger never missed a cut in those days. Never.
Bobby, you're 100% right. And we talked about it on the show. I've written about it. There was nothing more dramatic in sports to me, whether he ended up winning the tournament or not, to see Tiger grinding to make a cut late on a Friday afternoon when everything that had made him great, okay, when he's only competing against himself and his own standards, and if he had to birdie 18, he'd birdie 18. If he had to birdie two of the last three, he'd birdie. But by God, he'd be playing golf on Saturday.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a thing that that fascinated me. You know, obviously, winning the majors was, and reading that, but the idea everybody else. I mean, the guys, the names of the times, Vijay, Ernie, Phil, and then the next crop that came up. And there was a period of time when there was no next crop. And I wonder where the next good American young golfer was going to be coming from at some point about a dozen years ago. Anyway, they all missed the cup. Not Tiger. It was stop the presses news when he finally did.
Well, here's, and then there was one other box that got checked, Bob. At the 19 Masters, he finally came from behind on Sunday to win a major, which you think he would have done by accident. And I just went back and looked at the final leaderboard for that particular Masters. Okay, as Tiger wins it at, let's see, how old is he then? He's 43, right? He's going to turn 43 in December. Okay, so he's 42 years old. Okay, first of all, he was two behind going in the last round. And look at the kids, the second place tie. Ready? Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Xander Schauffele. Okay. Mm-hmm. In third place, Jason Day, Tony Finau. So he, you know, again, Jack did something that was remarkable that I wish Tiger had had more great opponents. Okay. I do. Because maybe it would have pushed him to win even more. Jack came on, he beat Arnold in his prime. Okay. Then he come. Then the kids come along, and he beats Player in his prime, and then he beats Miller and Trevino. Weisskopf and Watson in their prime. He goes toe to toe with Trevino, and then in '86 he has his moment, the way Tiger had his moment in 2019, and he takes on the world again, and he wins one more Masters. I wish there had been a guy. I wish there had been one Sunday in a major where it was him against Phil. You know, him and mm-hmm. Phil in the last group going toe-to-toe the way Watson and Nicklaus did at Turnberry in 1977, boy. Where I was fortunate and blessed enough to see every shot both of them hit for the last 36 holes because you didn't have to go watch anybody else on the golf course.
Which is very often the problem with covering golf. You drive yourself nuts. Am I in the right place at the right time and half the time or more than half the time? The answer is no. But when you have that eliminated, it can make your life more enjoyable. I envy you for that, Mike, just as I envy you for having been at Lake Placid, which I was not. And we've just passed that anniversary this week. But that's a great memory to have.
And again, you cannot... Michael was a global figure. Magic and Larry were, but they weren't. Michael was a global figure, okay? Tiger became a global figure. I mean, we didn't quite have the logo the way we did with Air Jordan, okay? But Tiger was, Bob, I'm telling you, there's a mythical torch that gets passed. You know it does, okay? Michael didn't call a press conference, I'm passing the torch to Tiger, but that's what happened, okay? And then Tiger leaves the stage, and it's LeBron. Right. And you know, Brady was always there, and through it all, Serena kept winning and winning and winning. But for male athletes, okay, the trinity in the last 25, 30 years is Michael to Tiger, to LeBron, and then Tiger comes back and wins that Masters, and for one more weekend, he's back to being the greatest star in the world.
Yep. Well, it's there's no questioning his stature, and then again, this can't even before we even begin to discuss the outsized importance he has to the Black community, and you know that you and I can't even begin to feel and how. You know what it means for all three of them, but Tiger having chosen a game that that was not one you'd normally associate, you know, with an African American, you know, that had a resonance that even was different than the other two, you know,
first African American didn't play in the Masters until what, 1975?
Charlie Sifford, right? Was it Charlie Sifford that finally was allowed? They finally allowed him to play.
Lee Elder, I think it might. Have
Oh,
been
Lee Elder, thank you. Right, Charlie Sifford was the better player.
Was a trailblazer.
Lee Elder, right?
Tremendous trailblazer. And by the way, a reminder that we're sponsored by Honey. If you shop online, and who doesn't right now, you always see that little promo code field at checkout. Makes you wonder if you could be getting at an even better price. Well, now thanks to a new browser extension called Honey, you can find out. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. Chances are your favorites are among them. Just shop like you normally do, and when you check out, the Honey button drops down. Click Apply Coupons, and seconds later, if there's a discount available, you see your savings right away. I saved $25 on my new headphones, a long overdue purchase, by the way, and my wife saved at every site she shops at. Honey has found that its over 17 million members have had over $2 billion in savings. If you don't already have Honey, you could be missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/reporters. That's joinhoney.com/reporters. And Bob, you know, the sad, I mean, there's so many sad and potentially tragic elements to this story, But he did seem to be enjoying himself. You know, it was like the old line. I think it was originally Frank Graham's line, a great sports writer of the past, who said, you know, he was saying hello as he got closer to saying goodbye. Okay. And he was so much more welcoming. He was, and you could see him letting the young guys into breathing his air. He loved playing with the young guys. Justin Thomas this week, Bobby called him his best friend.
18-year difference. I found that interesting. Well, one thing that struck me over the years is that there's plenty of people who want to claim him as a friend, which I like. You know, I mean, the idea. Even though there was a certain aloofness that we've, you know, that, you know, from the outside, evident or not evident, but, you know, suspected by the outside. A lot of guys over the years have wanted, but that was a big one to me, given, then again, remember who his first great friend was with a big age difference. Mark O'Meara.
And
right. So he's been on both sides of it now.
And the thing is, you know, it's so funny that cars have informed his life story so much over the, it's amazing. There's a part of you that says, you know, get a driver, you know, because of his past, you always wonder what caused this accident. And now I just think it might have been he was doing what we have all done behind the wheel of a car, which was rushing to get someplace. Even though you always think to yourself, they probably would have waited for Tiger Woods, you know, if he'd been a half hour late or even an hour late, but he probably didn't want to keep Drew Brees and everybody waiting. And so this happens. And again, as terrible as this story is, Bob, it's the happy ending to it is he is still alive and hopefully he will walk normally again. Yep. And maybe in this crazy pie in the sky scenario that someday, you know, he will, we will see him playing competitive golf again. Do I think so? No, but I don't think anybody on this planet in February of 1949 ever thought that Ben Hogan would play golf again. And then it was, Bob, 4 years later with Hogan. And it's, again, you have to keep coming back to Hogan because it's the only reference point we have in this particular sport. 4 years later, he wins three out of the four Grand Slam tournaments. And the only reason he didn't get to go for the mythical is because the PGA overlapped with the British Open, where he went to Carnoustie. He played one British Open. Talk about a mic drop, Bob. He played one British Open in his life. The 1953 Open at Carnoustie, wins it, never went back.
The wee Iceman. Yes, yes, I know. It's well, I mean, so much about Hogan is fictional too. But that was, I'm not making it up. Obviously, I drew that parallel immediately. You know, and we have talked about, you've made allusions to the Hogan situation over the years on this podcast, and so it stuck in my mind. But
because a guy I really like on the Golf Channel and is a golf nerd, I love listening to Brandel Chamblee, but this is long before this, he referred to Tiger's comeback that concluded with the Masters as the greatest golf comeback of all time, and I kept saying, No, it's not. No, it's not. Go back and look at Hogan's car. It's a magnificent comeback. It was a great story. The country cheered. The world cheered. Okay? But Hogan, I'll tell you one great Hogan story from Carnoustie that Dan Jenkins told me, because he was Ben Hogan's OB Keeler, which was the chronicler of Bobby Jones. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So in those days, they played 36, as they still did at the Open, the U.S.
Yep.
Open in those days.
Yep.
And so his caddy is a legendary Scottish caddy named Cecil Timms, okay? And in the morning round, and I forget the hole, might have been the 10th, but it doesn't matter. Hogan, of course, splits the fairway. Cecil Timms hands him a 4-iron. Ben knocks it on 15 feet, 2 putts for par. They play the afternoon round, and Hogan being Hogan, of course, he hits his drive almost in the same place, okay? He reaches into his bag for his 4-iron. Cecil Timms' hand is covering the 4-iron. And Bob, as you know, Ben was not exactly the life of the party, okay?
No.
So he puts the Hogan cop stare on Cecil Timms, and he says the following. It was a 4-iron this morning. And Cecil Timms says, But the wind has changed. It's a 3-iron now. Hogan reluctantly takes the 3-iron, takes his practice swing. As he's addressing the ball, he looks up at Cecil and says the following: "You better be right." And then, according to Dan, tried to hit the hardest 3-iron of all time to prove him wrong, knocks it on the green, makes par, goes on to win the tournament.
Am I correct that he was a known exponent of the 1-iron?
Oh, yeah.
Someone in that era was.
Well, yeah, there's some dispute about whether he actually hit the famous 1-iron at the Open that year. But yeah, he hit. No, please don't get me started on Hogan. That's a whole.
No, why not? That's why we're here.
Because he had an extra spike in one of his golf shoes. Okay, he had an extra spike because he felt it balanced him off better. You know, the reason I don't wear a golf glove, I've never worn a golf glve, is because of Ben Hogan.
Right?
Yeah. No.
Oh, wow.
All of my guys are gloveless. I love Corey Pavin because he was little. Couples doesn't wear a glove. Hogan didn't wear a glove. I've got a book on order right now, Five Lessons, which is the most famous golf book for a golf.
And by the way, folks, Ben Hogan was 5'8 and 150, maybe. And I'm just saying.
Yeah, and again, he came back and played glorious golf. I forget how old he was. Remember he played this brilliant, he shot a 66 at the Masters when he was really old. And it was, you know, he couldn't putt. And that's the other thing, Bob, he couldn't putt a lick. he sometimes could not bring the putter back. That's how bad his yips were. Hogan famously thought, or hoped, that putting would count for less than a full shot. he battled putting demons his whole career. But I'll tell you, the line you can draw is, for all of the power that Tiger showed when he was a kid, okay, he became a brilliant shot maker. I think, you know, before this injury, even when he wasn't winning, Bob, he's the greatest iron player in the world. And when you can put him on a course where length against the young guns doesn't matter as much. Okay. Remember the British Open, where was it? How did you pronounce it?
Hoylake.
Hoylake. He hit one driver when the tournament was over. Nick Faldo said, "Can I have your driver? You didn't use it this week."
You've come into my wheelhouse now, Michael. I was there.
There.
The whole thing.
Did he hit one driver the whole?
I believe one driver in 72 holes. He basically embarrassed the field. Of course, the famous last Sunday when Sergio showed up looking like a giant canary, you know, in this garish yellow.
Right.
But speaking of Sergio, I was also privileged to be at the PGA when he made that, after that long drought, Mike, between major one and two, if you remember,
yes.
2 years,
yes.
In 99 at in Chicago, Medina. And I was there for that nut with that little stare down with Sergio. But anyway, before we continue and shift gears to another sport, eventually, remind you that we are brought to you by Geico.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. We might not be shifting gears today, but Bob, okay, he's won the Masters, okay? And I had never seen him play golf in person. And I went down to the Open in a congressional in Washington to specifically watch this guy play golf. I wasn't going to cover the Open that year. I took the shuttle down. I went over to Congressional, and there he is. And Bob, I can tell you this, okay? I can tell you with great certainty, the ball sounded different coming off his drive. I'm telling you,
like they talk about some home run hitters. Yeah,
it's like, you know, when Mike Piazza was playing for the Mets, Bobby Valentine always said the sound off of his bat is different from the sound I hear off of anybody else's bat. It was like that. Okay, and then you combine the touch he showed. Okay, and the fact that he was exactly like Jack in this way. Literally for 10 years, Bob, he made every putt he had to make. You know, Jack did the same thing. Jack always said he didn't bring the putter back until he pictured himself holding the putt. Tiger was the same way. And then, Bob, now we got to talk about the moments, okay? The chip shot at 16.
Oh, yeah.
The chip shot at 16 in Augusta, which is, first of all, it's the greatest golf ball ad of all time. When that the Titleist golf ball hung on, but he provided moments like that. The putt he makes to force the play. Remember the putt he made against Rocco on 18 to force the playoff. And I think Dan Hicks said something like, "Did you ever have a doubt?" You know, and it was, he gave you that. That's what guys like him do. Okay, they don't just give you the body of work. They don't just give you the prize money. They don't just give you all the tournaments he won. And now it looks like he will never pass Sam Snead. Okay, they give you moments. I always say this to kids, Bob, when I go around and talk about the books. If you see something, you know this better than I do. If you see something great in sports, you don't need to see it replayed on SportsCenter 100 times. You don't need to have it on some kind of cassette or in your it is burned into your memory and into your heart, and you can recreate it for people. Those are the moments that Tiger Woods gave you, and it was all part of the magic of his brand.
Yep. Well, I don't know how many of them I saw, the majors, but it was about six or seven, I think, of them.
Did you really?
I did. You know, opens
and were they mostly British Opens, Bob?
No, it was.
Pebble. You were at Pebble.
Pebble. I was at Pebble at the
how
British
did you come
at the
to
PGA.
Be at Pebble? Were you just kind of sort of wandering around the golf beat at that point?
Well,
as a columnist?
My story, you know, because that was the thing I remember most, other than Tiger dominance, the tribute to Payne Stewart. That's the year of the Payne Stewart tragedy. And they had that salute to him before the first round of hitting the golf balls all out under the water. Very touching. But I remember this. On the 18th hole, Tiger was dominated. His goal, Mike, if you remember, was to play a bogeyless 72.
Right.
He was going to win the tournament. But the secondary goal was no bogeys. And so I'm at the 18th hole. I'm about down, you know, 275 yards down the fairway with the people. And Tiger steps up to the tee, and people are anxious. They want to see a booming drive, right? And they see the gleam of the iron, and the crowd groaned. Mike, I swear to God, the people groaned. Oh, no, you know, he's going to hit an iron, you know. They wanted him to blast one. And of course he pars the hole, but he was playing it safe. He was determined not to have a bogey in that tournament. But so that's yeah. But
so
I was privileged. I was at St. Andrews you know, second time.
That was in 2005. Because he wins by eight in 2000, and he did not lead after the first round that year, by the way. He was a stroke off the lead in the first round that year, and then he puts up a fast 67, 66, 67, 69. He ends up 19 under par. And he beats Els and Thomas Bjorn by eight shots, and it was, again, that trifecta. Wait, he won by what? He won. He won by 12 at Augusta. He won by eight at St. Andrews. So now we're up to 20. And then what did he win by at Pebble?
Oh, 15.
Okay, think about this, Bob. Whatever list, Bobby, whatever list you make of the three most famous golf courses in the world, he won majors on them, wait for it, Bob, by an average victory total of a dozen. He won by 35 shots. That's That's what Tiger Woods does. That's right. Why this was okay. And we'll get to LeBron and the Lakers. They're in a world of trouble till Anthony did, but we'll get to them on Monday. This was the day to talk about Tiger Woods. And if you're wondering why this was such a big deal this week, and maybe you haven't followed the minutiae of his career, the great and small of his career, the way Bob and I have been lucky to, this is why. He is a unique figure in his sport. He is one of the great figures in American sport. It doesn't mean you have to love him. It doesn't mean you have to approve of everything you found out about him. But you must respect what this guy did. And until things got sideways for him on that Thanksgiving night, Bob, we agree. He would have won. My opinion, and even with the injuries and the back problems to come, he would have won at least 20 majors and maybe totally more agree. Than that.
Totally agree.
And because we wish him all the best. We wish him a recovery that we know will be painful, but that hopefully will be ultimately successful. And at the very least, Bob, we hope that Tiger is out walking the golf course when Charlie Woods becomes whatever he's going to be.
Caddying for Charlie. That's what I want to see. Yeah. Caddying for Charlie.
All right, listen, it's time for our parting shots. This week's parting shots are brought to you by Honey. If you don't already have Honey, you could be missing out on free savings. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/reporters. That's joinhoney.com/reporters. Bob Ryan will lead off and probably, as I am, change the subject a little.
Now, parting shots.
To DH or not to DH? That, sadly, is an open question for Major League Baseball. The idea that the leagues would still have different playing rules is an absolute absurdity. Now, as I understand it, the Players Association won't sign off on a universal DH at the present time in order to use their approval as a bargaining chip in the next CBA negotiations, which take place at the end of the coming season. The DH issue is the only factor separating the two major leagues, and it's beyond dispute that only a few diehard romantics wish to see pitchers embarrass themselves with a bat in their hands, or worse yet, injure themselves if they wind up running the bases. Meanwhile, teams need to make roster decisions based on having a DH or not. Hello, Mets. You know in the end there will be a permanent DH, so let's just do it and end the nonsense.
My first job, as Mr. Ryan knows, in newspapers was covering the NBA. In the playoffs that first year, Ryan and I would go to a different city every night, and it was as much fun as I have ever had in this business. When Madison Square Garden rose up again in the 90s, and a Knicks ticket was once again the hottest in town, I had a ringside seat, and I mean a ringside seat, for all of it. I love pro basketball. And for all the talent in the game right now, I think this season is a mess. It doesn't mean I don't love watching LeBron or Steph or Luka, but there are too many games. There just are. Before long, everybody down the stretch will be playing a game every other night, and anybody who thinks that kind of grind will improve the quality of play, please send up a flare. You know why they should have canceled the All-Star game? To give those stars I'm talking about the extra rest they need. Thank you for listening. Mitch will be back from Haiti on Monday. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. I think if you listen to this podcast and heard Bob and I today, you not only know our passion for golf, you know we appreciate the things that we have both had ringside seats to in our career. But please continue to support our podcast. Subscribe. Go to all the places where you find Spotify, Stitcher, any place you get your podcasts. There's a reason why we put the band back together, and today, days like today are one of them. So for my pal Bob Ryan and Mike Lupica, we'll talk to you on Monday.